gentlemen, buckle up. We're going 3-1.
If Harvick's able to clear the one of Jamie McMurray and a caution comes out, he'll be back on the lead lap.
Rick, join us as we break down the latest news stories and race events from the three biggest divisions in motorsports.
Into the wall, then into the two. The two goes around. The caution's going to come out.
The Gander Outdoor Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Will Joey Logano repeat?
It's a drag race, they're sideways, and it's going to be Logano getting the win!
Or will someone else take claim on being the next champion? It's time for the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
What's going on, everybody? This is the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 back once again. My name is Eddie Greer III, as usual, host of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. We're all about the latest in the world of NASCAR. Y'all know what I'm talking about. For those who are new to this podcast, we talk about the three biggest divisions in all of NASCAR motorsports. We're talking about the Gander Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. The three biggest divisions in all of NASCAR. And tonight, y'all know what it is. No, it's not Monday night, but it is Tuesday night. The post-race reaction from ISM Raceway going down this evening. And we'll talk K-State on the back end of the 3-Wide NASCAR Podcast. Big 12 champs for the first time since 13. Excited about that. And now looking forward to the tournament. I'll save that for the back end of the podcast. Big D joins me here in the EG3 garage area. Let's get right on down to business. And of course, Saturday was full of activity for myself, so I did not get a chance to watch much of the Xfinity race, but we're just going to run down things here real quick. Saw brief highlights here and there. Followed the race on Twitter when I had a chance to do that. But of course, I guess you can say, from where I'm standing at, glad I didn't watch the race, because once again, Kyle Busch back to back wins in the Xfinity Series. And of course, while we're at it, spoiler alert, Kyle Busch swept over the weekend at ISM, but the Xfinity Series, 198 for Kyle Busch. And the hits just keep on coming from there. And like I mentioned last week somewhere in one of the podcast episodes, he was flirting around just over, I believe that was his 94th win in the Xfinity Series, holding off contenders, or at least up until they ran into some smoke. That was Christopher Bell and Justin Allgaier. Bell, for the second straight week on this West Coast trip, running into trouble. Of course, at Vegas, he and Austin Shindrick had some problems there. And now you fast forward to what happened over the weekend. He gets in trouble once again, and he got knocked out of this race. Allgaier running in the top 10 throughout this race, also in that same accident as well. But surprise, surprise, Ryan Truex was coming at the end of this one. Too little, too late. Kyle Busch now, of course, obviously looking ahead to what possibly could be historic weekend. This weekend, obviously, when the West Coast trip wraps up at Fontana, Kyle Busch back to back. He's going to look to sweep, put the brooms out for this West Coast swing. Here we switch our gears here to the screen. Kyle Busch leading, or led, I should say, over 100 laps. He led 116 to be exact. Let's just go down to the top 10 from the Xfinity Series race. The Arizona 200 finished in the 10th spot. How about this cat? Ryan Sieg. Back-to-back top 10 finishes for that 39 car. Well done. Started 15th and finished in the 10th spot. How about that? Sieg coming up big here in the last couple of races here in out west. John Hunter Nemechek, after his runner-up, finished in the 9th spot there for GMS. Michael Annette, once again, backing up. You know, I had some questions earlier. Question marks about Annette, how he was going to back up his win at Daytona. Well, you know, coming off of the top 15 finish at Atlanta, well, he backed that up with, again, another top 10 effort here. Finished in the 8th spot. Back to the top 10 here real quick. Brandon Jones finishing his 7th spot for Joe Gibbs Racing. He started 11th. Chase Briscoe in that number 98 car for Stuart Haas Racing came home in 6th. Austin Cindric, the winner of Stage 1, finishing the top 5. And both Stuart Haas cars in the Xfinity Series finishing inside the top 10. Cole Custer finished 4th in this one. The red hot start continues for the defending series champion in the Xfinity Series, Cole Custer. Tyler Reddick finished 3rd. My eyes were looking at the wrong section. Then, of course, I mentioned Ryan Truex was in the 8th car this past weekend for Junior Motorsports. Came home in the 8th. In the 2nd spot, getting it crossed up here. Ryan Truex in the 8th car finished runner-up. And we already covered Kyle Busch in a top spot once again. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Big D, he was on the entry list, and he is going for a historic 200. And I caught this also last night, or it was over the weekend, one of the two, that, of course, Christopher Bell, Kyle's teammate in the Xfinity Series, and Tyler Reddick were giving Kyle Busch sort of a hard time on the old social media on Twitter, saying, hey, you're not going to make history here. Summarizing it for you guys. We're not going to have history made here in the Xfinity Series. And we'll have to find out if Bell, who was probably the most top contender, Bell won Stage 2 last weekend and running in trouble for the 2nd straight week. Now he'll have the task. He, Reddick, Austin Cindric, and the Xfinity boys will have that task to try to deny Kyle Busch win number 200 at Fontana on Saturday afternoon. You're listening to 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3, Eddie Gray III, here with you guys tonight on this Tuesday night. And finally, up here in the Manhattan, Kansas area, where of course I live and do the podcast, things are starting to warm up. Finally, thank you, Jesus. Obviously, we've had a lot of snow up here in the Midwest, and finally, March is here, and we're finally getting some spring-like temps. I'd rather take rain than snow any day of the week, so I'm glad that it's starting to warm up here a little bit, and we can enjoy, finally, some decent weather up here in Manhattan, Kansas, folks. So, turn the page over. Obviously, 3Wide meeting Gainer Outdoor Truck Series did not participate out in ISM. Obviously, they'll be participating out there later on this year, late in the playoffs for the Truck Series. We turn our gears over now to what went down in a Ticket Guardian 500 over the weekend at ISM Raceway, formerly known as Phoenix Raceway, changed the name over a year ago. Somewhere in the lines of that. But prior to the race on Saturday, yeah, I was away. So I haven't been paying attention to these qualifying efforts, right? Obviously, this group qualifying, wait till the last minute, all of this stuff. And I've mentioned it several times already on this podcast. I do not like this qualifying format, this group qualifying, all this other stuff like that. Why? Because people are going to wait. You know. In the back of your mind, drivers can wait till the last minute to go out there and make a lot, especially on the final section of qualifying. Obviously, we have 5 minutes, but NASCAR changed it up with the first round, changing it to, I believe it was from 20 to 15, or actually, I want to say it was 10, but I'm not exactly sure at this point. But anyways, they shortened up the first part of qualifying, so it wouldn't be as long. So I gave kudos to NASCAR about that. But, I mean, we had a fight go down, a wrestling match go down UFC style on Friday, late Friday afternoon over there in Arizona, where communication was not at a premium. And when I hop on the old Twitter last Friday night, I saw on two instances, or on a few instances actually, Daniel Suarez linked up to Michael McDowell. Okay, now how is it that these two guys are in the same sentence in some of these guys' statuses? I mean, this is, ain't making sense. And then I scroll down here, and I can't remember the name who posted or whatever, but this was viral. This was the red hot topic, Big D, on Twitter last Friday night. Daniel Suarez, Michael McDowell get into it. And apparently, the view is viral by now. If you have not seen it already, Suarez, McDowell get in the confrontation because Suarez clearly thought that McDowell was cutting him off and ruining his lap or whatever. And then when the two of them are out of their car, Daniel Suarez walks over to the 34 squad and it ensues. And EG3 three-wide alum Michael McDowell, who we had on the show a few years ago on the podcast, initiates the fight. And you wouldn't think Michael McDowell, the person that he is, Christian and everything else, that he would not start that kind of stuff, right? But he did. Clearly started it. And then Daniel Suarez took matters in his own hands, put the UFC move on him, put him down. And then, of course, the crew chief of the 34 car had to pin him to the car. Michael McDowell trying to take the shoe off of Suarez. Oh, my goodness. It was entertaining, to say the least. And then Suarez, after the fact, saying he ain't going to put up with that stuff. Obviously, Daniel Suarez, ladies and gentlemen, has a new attitude, obviously, you know, in a new competitive ride with Stuart Haas Racing. Big D, you're sitting there laughing. Now, you're watching it again? Yeah, you are. And so, there was that whole deal, and I'm just kind of stunned. Not from, obviously, you're not going to want to get pushed around on a racetrack, that's one thing, but a statue of McDowell, person out of McDowell, you wouldn't have think that, but apparently he was sticking up for himself, which, yes, you should do that, but obviously, McDowell, you're owned, buddy. You got owned by Suarez, which, after the fact, he also pointed out to one of the Fox reporters afterwards that he was going to put up with that bull jive, and he used to get in fights. He's told Jamie Little that he used to get in fights when he's in middle school. And you disrespect me, I'm gonna kick your ass. That's what he said. That's what came out of the mouth of Daniel Suarez. Daniel Suarez won. Michael McDowell nothing on the EG3 3Y podcast. Clearly, Suarez, obviously, you know, all the focus, you know, the success of the Stuart Haas Racing cars last year, obviously, it's been well documented from last year, but this year it's been the rise of Penske taking the number one spot right now in the Ford Camp. Ryan Blaney, strong run the other day, coming up short. But yeah, there's a lot of pressure on this cat from Mexico, Dan Suarez, to get the job done over there and to win that car. That's a winning race car right there, that Kurt Busch put in victory lane last year at Bristol. That's been always been a winnable ride in that car. So you would think, yeah, you know, this is your opportunity to get something done in that ride. And obviously compete, get yourself in the playoffs for the first time. But obviously, respectively, obviously, McDowell's weekend went to shambles after that. Like I tweeted out to lap traffic earlier this morning, it seemed like after the fact that Suarez took him down to the mat, McDowell trying to make his case during the car ride, the truck ride, the pace, the parade laps, or whatever you want to call that, around. And funny enough, you hear the old saying that if you get an altercation with somebody, you can't get away from them. Well, literally, you can't get away from this guy because you got to ride with him all the way around that track. And he's thankfully that this wasn't no Daytona or Talladega, anything like that. And he had to try to explain himself to Daniel Suarez, fact that, okay, I'm doing this, or whatever he was talking about. So McDowell, from my point of view, very uncharacteristic that he's got to try to start something and then try to play it off after the fact. And then 2 days later, try to explain yourself again. And from Daniel's perspective, he wasn't having none of it. So Daniel Suarez basically making a statement right there. You don't want to mess with me. You get me respect, I respect you. We've heard that a lot in all NASCAR throughout the years since I've been a part of this sport, or I should say a fan of this sport and part media of the sport also. So you have that, and then you have that factor too, where you know you get disrespected for whatever reason. Yeah, you're going to take it out on somebody, and Daniel Suarez did on Michael McDowell. So you have those cats over there, and you wouldn't see this fire last year from Suarez. Suarez in the 19 for Julius Racing, he was in great equipment there. Couldn't win in that race car. Now, Joe Gibbs got rid of him, put him over to Stuart Haas Racing. One of the worst secrets in silly season from this past offseason, along with the Martin Truex over the 19 car. More Martin here coming up. But Suarez, a lot of pressure, a lot of attention on this race team right now. And everybody, obviously, on Team Suarez. And why not, right? He just went over there and basically threw Michael McDowell to the pavement. And luckily, crew chief and a couple other members were over there, or he would have got a punch in there. But McDowell, with a hard shove and everything else, got railroaded after that. So Suarez there making an appointment, making a statement off the track. And right now, early in the year, a 23rd place finish for Suarez. Obviously, he got the best of McDowell off the track and on the track, apparently. And McDowell finished dead last in this one. So, yeah. So, all that explaining you're doing, all that hand gesture that you're doing, not good enough for that 34 team. So, Suarez, huge news coming from this weekend. Obviously, not on the track because Suarez only finished 23rd. Not good enough on that end. But off the track, UFC style, yeah, you beat Michael McDowell on that turn. You're listening to the 3-1 NASCAR podcast with EG3. Eddie Gray III here with you guys tonight on this post-race reaction edition of the podcast. March 12th, recording it March 12th, 2019. This will be going up as soon as I get home from supper tonight. Did I just say supper? I just did. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, dinner. Where I usually call it anyways, my wife calls it supper, whatever. It's the same thing. But action heated up on the racetrack, getting back off the UFC style move by Suarez, Kyle Busch doing all the fighting on the track, not literally but figuratively. Kyle Busch, when you look at the races now, one going back to the truck series, or actually you can go farther than that, going back to Atlanta. I don't know what the stat is. He's won every week. So Atlanta did that whole deal. And did he win? No, Christopher Bell won in the Xfinity Series at Atlanta. So that's not it. Las Vegas, again, the trucks. They had the Xfinity last week at Vegas. That's three. And then you turn around the table. You've won now five. I believe the last, when you look at that stretch of time between Atlanta and right now, we're coming to the last leg of this West Coast swing in Fontana, at least when you look at that, back up to Atlanta now, 5 of 7. When you count the Brad Keselowski win over there in Atlanta, 5 of 7 in the stretch for Kyle Busch. And now you're sitting there, one win away from eclipsing 200. Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, like I talk about, said they won't have none of that. We'll see if they can back that trash talk up. On Sunday, this was the Kyle Busch playground over the weekend. There's just no doubt about it. Watched most of this race before going to small group and then kept up with the rest on Twitter. And mainly because Martin Truex Jr. had a great car in this one. And Martin Truex Jr. once again finishing in a second spot one more time. And Martin Truex Jr. from what Twitter, one of my friends, Truex Nation, shout out. Martin Truex Jr. Nation in the house. But the dude was coming and passed Brian Blaney. It was a fierce battle for the lead between Blaney and Kyle Busch. Blaney winning the stage one. And this one, Blaney, you know, coming out of the box competitive. Also, you know, obviously had the unfortunate issue last week at Vegas. Had a fast car there. And he proved the point right there. over the weekend that he was awfully competitive and gave Kyle Busch all he could handle. But at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, Kyle Busch brought it home and led 177 laps to get career win number 52 in the Cup Series. And not only that, the all-important number one spot right there in front of him now. And we talk, obviously, I'm all over the place when it comes to Kyle Busch with these 200 wins and whatnot, in the lack of competition, whatnot. And I'll get into that whole thing once Kyle Busch gets there. I've said it briefly on many streaks here on the 3 Wide NASCAR podcast, but Kyle Busch right now, for those of you listeners on this podcast and for all the Matt podcast media out there, they've all said it. You know Kyle Busch, the ultimate talent in NASCAR right now. It's point blank. Now, you know, there's up and coming talent. We talked about the Haley Deegans of the world rising up. The Christopher Bells, the William Byrons of the world, Ryan Blaney's, Chase Elliott's. But right now, this is Kyle Busch's playground right now, and he is towing whatever it is, the Cup Series, the Xfinity Series, dominant in the Truck Series. He can't be touched right now. And it wasn't for a speeding penalty last week, we could be sitting here talking 200 wins right at this very moment right now on the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast right now. Adam Stevens, Kyle Busch in the Cup Series, one of the best crew chief driver duos in the business right now. What can you say about this dude? This dude is a winner, and we always bash him when he loses because he is the ultimate crybaby. He's not the best sport fan. Obviously, you know, I've said this over and over again on the 3-Wide podcast. He is the biggest crybaby. He's all about winning. He ain't all about this finishing second. And perfect example, last week at Vegas, you know, he kept it short and sweet after the fact, you know, comes up short, whatever, let's move on to ISM, comes to ISM, put a spanking on the Xfinity Series boys again, and then does it one more time in the Cup Series to Truex Jr., Ryan Blaney, and those guys over there. So those numbers that was posted on the Fox broadcast, we're not going to see those again because NASCAR restricted guys running the Cup Series, trying to dip down, try to be all this in the Xfinity and the Truck Series. Now, yes, you know, look, I've said it, obviously, that, you know, these guys, you know, and this is why I love the Xfinity standalone races and the trucks alone, and that's why this year, I'm really looking forward to probably going to one of those doubleheaders over there this year, where I'm planning on going out there to one of those summer tracks out there this year. I'm excited about that, unless things change with what we have going on in the family right now. But hey, it's Kyle Busch's world right now, his own playground, and right now he's in a groove and he's all about winning. So, yeah, it's no surprise to even the average NASCAR fan out there knows that Kyle Busch, well, just by looking at Adam, the way he drives on the racetrack, this cat right here is a winner, and that's all you gotta say right there. So we saw a lot of strategy play late in this one, and some highlights here of note. We saw Jimmy Johnson, Big D, be inside the top 10 through 70% of this race. Jimmy Johnson, is that the race that gets that team going out of the doghouse? Well, I'll see you there. Marola at one point was leading this race as well. Austin Dillon was trying to finish in the top 10. He runs out of gas, had to come back down. So there are strategies back and forth. But at the end of the day, though, you know, you talk about this new aero package, you know, from what I've been listening to and hearing and reading, you know, the fact that, you know, the leader can pull away and whatnot. Right now, only person doing that, Kyle Busch, and yes, the Penske guys coming into ISM have come out of the gate swinging on all cylinders, and Kyle Busch is swinging right back as Kyle Busch also wins stage two as well. So recapping the stage winners real quick, Blaney, stage one, Kyle Busch, stage two, your winner. Obviously, we're going to hear from him coming out of the intermission timeout. Kyle Busch winning the race one more time. Let's go through the run full field rundown here on a 3-Watt NASCAR podcast. Thanks for tuning in. EG3, Big D here as well, inside the EG3 garage area in DMHK, Manhattan, Kansas. Already said it already, Michael McDowell couldn't get off the mat, and you got KO'd, literally, finishing shotgun in the field, 36, after a hot start. After finishing in the top five at Daytona 500 and qualifying good at Atlanta, things have kind of turned south for that team. And now on top of that, you pile on Daniel Suarez pulling you down on the cement. Not going to get it done for that 34. And also the EG3 3-Watt alum here on the podcast, Alex Bowman. Alex Bowman had a rough day at the office at his hometown track where he almost won a couple years ago and then got taken out by Matt Kenseth. Bowman, 35th in that 88 car for Hendrick Motorsports. Ryan Preece, 34th in this one. The 00, Landon Castle, 33rd. Cody Ware, 32nd. Bailey Curry, 31st. Quinn Huff in that 77 Chevy, 30th. Eric Jones, once again, not a good day for him. After starting off hot, he has had some difficulty here. ISM, 29th position. I believe he was in one of those cautions as well. Matthew Benedetto, talked about him last time we were on the podcast, putting down good practice time. Well, the Benedetto, he was in the top 15 and ended up finishing in a 28th position. Ross Chastain, 27th. Coyle Joy, 26th. Followed by, or before that, before that, 25th belongs to Mike Madell's teammate, that in the person of David Reagan right there, folks. Continuing on through the full field right now, William Byron finished 24th. Daniel Suarez, 23rd. I already talked about him already. But Wallace, 22nd. Austin Dillon, potential top 10 finish, 21st. Once again for that 3 car. Matt Tiff, 20th. Top 20 finish for him. Brad Keselowski had issues early. Was a lap down at some one point of the race. He comes back to pull out a 19th place finish. Daniel Hemric comes home in 18th. Paul Menard, 17th. Chris Buescher, 16th. Ty Dillon. Attaboy for him. Finished in the 15th spot. Chase Elliott finished 14th. And note on him, Chase Elliott, he started on the front row with Ryan Blaney. Ryan Blaney won a pole for the Ticket Garden 500. Chase Elliott, the start did not start off so hot for him. Elliott went ahead of Blaney at the start finish line. NASCAR popped him for going before him. Elliott got a lap down early. He manages, or it was either I believe he stayed on the lead lap. But at one point, too, he was on a lap down. Also, he rallied back to finish in the 14. And lately, though, he's been pretty decent out there. But obviously, that wreck last year that took him out of championship four position. And then this one, he's had a shaky result, couple of results here out there out west in Phoenix. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., after a top 10 finish last week, comes back to finish 13th. And how about old boy, big man, Ryan Newman? 12th position for Ryan Newman, and he was in the top 10 throughout much of this day. Big D was talking about him over the weekend there. So Newman, former one at this racetrack, when it was the other way around, comes home in the top dozen, and we saw this guy trying to catch Kyle Busch at some sorts throughout the afternoon when I was watching the race. Clint Bowyer finished in the 11th spot right there for Stewart Racing. So just outside the top 10, which we will run down on the other end of this timeout. And we'll hear from the winner, Kyle Busch, when he spoke to Jamie Little after he took the checkered flag win 199. When we return to the 3-Watt NASCAR podcast, EG3, we got that. And, of course, we'll take a look at the standings. We'll hand out EG3 helmet stickers as well. And we'll talk lap track fantasy. And to end it, action pack second half of the podcast, K-State, your Big 12 champions with Texas Tech. You're listening to 3-Watt NASCAR podcast. We're coming back right after this intermission timeout.
This is a quick pit stop. Inside NASCAR podcast with EG3 will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Free Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. That is me, Eddie Greer, the third host of the NASCAR Podcast out here in Manhattan, Kansas. We're all about the Gainer Outdoor Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, and of course the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motor sports. We continue with this full field run up with the top 10, beginning with the 10th position. This guy won last week at Vegas and comes back to finish in the top 10. That would be the person of Joey Logano in that Penske Ford. And everybody talked about, obviously, this cat who finished 9th, Kevin Harvick, who's been dominant at this racetrack for so long. And he was not the dominant car of the weekend. That four car, Kevin Harvick. Finished 9th, and he was going for win, I believe, win number 10 at that racetrack. So Harvick did not have the dominant car. Harvick is less dominance at ISM, did not show up there, but he did finish in the top 10 there. Jimmy Johnson, we covered it already on the first segment of the podcast. Jimmy Johnson there was leading a few laps in this one, led four laps. And not only that, finish in the 8th spot. Kurt Busch continues his hot start with Ganassi, finishing in the 7th spot. Kyle Larson putting down a nice performance there in that 42. Ganassi, 6th and 7th. Denny Hamlin finished 5th. Eric Almirola, another top 10 at ISM for Eric. He led 26 laps to finish 4th. Ryan Blaney, your Stage 1 winner, led 94 laps in this one. He was the second dominant car, in my opinion, and come back to finish 3rd. Martin Truex Jr. finished 2nd. Once again, this is the second time in 3 races since that being involved in that big one at Daytona. He and Cole Pirner have reeled off 3 consecutive top 10, or I should say 3 straight consecutive, whatever you want to call it. 3 straight top 10s in a row. That includes 2 seconds. At some point or another, he's going to put that 19 back in victory lane. Very excited about that from a Martin Truex Jr. fan perspective. And obviously, y'all know who won this race. Kyle Busch, 177 laps to his first win of 2019. Not only that, continues his dominance here the last couple weeks in all 3 divisions. That is win number 5 in his last 7 races right there. Won it back up to his end. Not only that, we're kind of overlooking the fact that Joe Gibbs Racing went 1-2 with Truex finishing in the 2nd. And Martin Truex, obviously, when I even count going back to the championship race last year against Joey Logano, finishing 2nd there and ending his bid of trying to go back-to-back there last year, he's knocking on the door and he's getting warmed up. I'm feeling it now. He's starting to get warmed up there. He and Kurt Busch off to some good starts with their new respective teams right there. It's not going to be for long before one of those cats gets to victory lane for their new teams. And now let's hear from that winner of Kyle Busch, who spoke with Jimmy Little after getting his first win of the year, and not only that, closing in on 200.
I knew going back before we went green with however many to go that we were going to be right on the verge, and you got to go race hard first, and then you got to worry about fuel afterwards. And once I got there, once I got to Blaney, I was able to kind of save a little bit and try to take care of my tires again for the rest of the traffic that we had to get through and make sure I had enough fuel to make it to the end. But, man, God, this makes last week feel so much stupider. Oh, man, I wish we could have swept last week, too. That would have been pretty awesome to start out this year with two weekend sweeps in a row and three, being in my hometown of Vegas. But we'll just take what we got here today at ISM Raceway. And it was cool to win yesterday for IK9 and the Service Dog 200 in their race. And more cool to win today in this Skittles Camry and get ourselves back to victory lane.
Kyle, you have been a man on a mission, though. 199 wins now across the three different series. How do you want to perceive what you are embarking on in this accomplishment?
It's not for me to worry about. It's for everybody else to discuss and talk about and argue over and debate, you know. But for myself and the career that I've had, I've been fortunate to be with a lot of great people and a lot of great sponsors. And those that stick around me, like Joe Gibbs and M&M's and Skittles and Snickers and everybody, Interstate Batteries, that's always been behind me is what it's all about for me. And that keeps me going each and every weekend. And to work with my guys and to take them to victory lane is what it's all about.
You just heard Kyle Busch, Jamie Little right there after Kyle Busch wins at ISM. And yeah, we're definitely talking about you, Rowdy Busch. That's right. That's what you want. We got it right here, the 3Y NASCAR podcast. And not only that, obviously, we're not going to be the only NASCAR podcast talking about this. Obviously, you got the PETM podcast, Loose Lugs, Lap Traffic, ones I listen to the most, and others out there, NASCAR podcast family shout out right here on the 3Y NASCAR podcast. So you definitely got that on your hands. And yeah, like I said in the first segment, first half of the podcast, I will definitely dive into it a little bit more once Kyle Busch achieves that accomplishment for him. But definitely, man, he won that sweet bad last week, Big D, over there at Vegas. He didn't get it, and he was pissed off. Normal Kyle Busch style, pissed off at the world. He didn't get it, and comes back, sweeps ISM, and here, Fontana, he's already on the entry list. Now, again, for those of you who are wondering why Kyle Busch is in it, in the Xfinity field, because, again, NASCAR cut down the limited amount of activity that the Cup guys can be in, so it used to be where not only Kyle Busch, Joey Logano's of the world, Brad Keselowski used to go down in the world, go down to the Xfinity series, and dominate their respective races. And NASCAR said, and you could throw Kyle Larson in there, and maybe a couple others in there. Say, NASCAR, look, we gotta have more parity and give these young guys a chance to develop and grow a little bit in the sport. So NASCAR said, hey, we're going to cut it down. A couple years ago, we're going to cut this activity down to 5. And it doesn't matter whether it's 5, 20, 2, 1. Kyle Busch, he don't care. He's going to go in that series and just flat out dominate. And that's why we're talking about Kyle Busch's playground right now out west. When you look at it right now, out west, 4 out of 5, when you count the truck series race out there in Vegas a couple weeks ago, and you add on Atlanta, I already mentioned already, 5 of his last 7 races he's entered have been wins. It's Ben, you're shaking your head back there. It's crazy, and right now he is on full railroad mode right now. This is the 3Y NASCAR Pops EG3. It's time to hang out some EG3 stickers here for transitioning. Oh, and we'll just do the standings afterwards. So, all right, EG3 helmet stickers of the week here on the 3Y NASCAR podcast. Got mine, Ryan Truex, Austin Cindric, Chase Briscoe. EG3 helmet stickers of the week in the Xfinity series. And in the Cup Series race over there, handing mine to MTJ Martin Truex Jr., Ryan Blaney, and I gave mine, last one, to Ryan Newman. EG3 helmet stickers this week. And of course, Big D has his, and he gives his to Jimmy Johnson this week. So, Jimmy Johnson, EG3 helmet stickers this week right there. So, to recap it real quick, Chase Briscoe, Austin Cindric, Ryan Truex, Ryan Newman, Jimmy Johnson, Ryan Blaney, Mark Trex Jr., and you probably know the trending in there. There's a lot of Ryans this week for the EJ Thrill Helmet Stickers in there, and well-deserved from the ISM Weekend EG3 Helmet Stickers, a weekly stable, or I should say, on the podcast, an EG3 favorite here on the podcast. Switching gears real quick. Wild Big D is switching the gears over to the standings real quick. Again, you can follow me at EG3 underscore Fast Eddie on Twitter. And before I forget, you can follow, you can find the 3Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 wherever you get your podcast at. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, CastBox, Audio Boom, TuneIn, we just added that, iHeartRadio. I can name a couple others out there. The 3Wide NASCAR podcast is getting out there. Spread the word. If you have been a loyal listener of the podcast, I appreciate hanging in there with me throughout the time we've been on national podcasting here. And tell your friends, tell your buddies, and add the 3Wide NASCAR podcast to your collection of NASCAR / sports podcasts, wherever you get your podcast. 3Wide NASCAR podcast. Going to the standings in the Xfinity Series. Here, we got a new points leader in the Xfinity Series. Your defending champion in this series, Tyler Reddick, virtue of Christopher Bell being out of the race in ISM by 4 on Bell. Your next guy, Cole Custer, 11 back. Michael Annette, 4th right now. Actually, there's a tie for 4th between Michael Annette and Brandon Jones, who is numbered 5th. And we'll throw in Austin Cindric, who's in 6th right now. Switching the screen to the Cup Series. Your leader? Why not? Who else? Take a wild guess. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Kyle Busch by 6 on Penske. Joey Logano. Kevin Harvick is a close 3rd. Denny Hamlin is 4th, the top 4, separated by 12 points right now. And Martin Truex Jr., climbing the right direction, is now inside the top 5 and 5th. So there's your standings right here on the EG3 3Wide NASCAR podcast. We roll it on here on this Tuesday night here in Manhattan, Kansas. And before we dive into K-State here to end the show, obviously, two things real quick. Obviously, a week ago, we celebrated the mini milestone for the EG3 3Wide NASCAR podcast. So huge there. So a round of applause to you, Big D, everyone else, and obviously here who make this podcast happen. That's 70% me and 30% everybody else who makes this happen. So we're climbing the right direction. Speaking of trending, yeah, we're trending in the right direction. I strive to get better each and every week, and also I take pride in what I'm doing as well. So there was that milestone there as well. And speaking of milestones, I got the 300 followers, so there is that. So we're 50 away from giving away, having our first giveaway. So 50 more to 350, and I wish I had more time tonight, but I on a little bit of a time crunch this evening, so I'm going to let that ride and switch it to next week to get the news on that. So 350 for the giveaway right there. And obviously lap traffic fantasy with the way that Vegas played out, and Atlanta, especially Vegas really put us in the hole at the bottom. Still at the bottom, but yeah, my mantra, obviously I'm not quitting. Not even close. So there is that. But we are closing in on a couple other folks down there. So hopefully we can make some moves. And yeah. I'm learning real quick that those three, the fantasy, those three, if the trucks, Xfinity, and the Cup Series are in that weekend, you got to score big in those. That's big, because these two rate, when you get a doubleheader like the Xfinity and the Cup Series this weekend at Fontana, and obviously this past weekend at ISM, you're not going to make up much ground unless some of those people forget their picks or their picks stall out a little bit. So, but hey, we're just going to keep trucking away and try to make something happen here the rest of the way here down here in the Lap Track Fantasy down here. And before we talk K-State to wrap up the podcast, next race is here, the Xfinity Series, the Production Alliance Group 300, this Saturday, 5 o'clock Eastern start, 4 o'clock local, right here in Manhattan, Kansas, Oklahoma. If you live in the Central Time Zone out west, y'all know how to figure that math out yourselves. In the Cup Series, the final leg of the West Coast trip, the Auto Club 400, where Martin Truex Jr. won last year. Look, he's looking to get on the board this year. Or will Kyle Busch make history wherever that plans out? Auto Club 400 on Fox, 2:30 local time, 3:30 Eastern time. We'll have more on that later on this week. And speaking of which, I'm also working on, I believe it's been confirmed, Big D, you told me about it a couple hours ago. It's been confirmed. We will be speaking with a driver this week. Be part of our bonus coverage of the 3Y NASCAR podcast. So very excited. It's been a while since having someone on the podcast. It was confirmed early this morning, actually. So looking forward to speaking with the driver here this weekend. It'll be posted probably this weekend or at some point next weekend. So we'll see how that schedule is, because I'll be going to Wichita next weekend. So it'll probably be scheduled for next week when it comes out on a 3Y NASCAR podcast. All right, I've been teasing this for quite a while to wrap up the show here. K-State, Big 12 champs, knocking out on Oklahoma over the weekend. So that's why I didn't pay attention to any racing on Saturday, because too caught up in what's going on with basketball right now. And obviously, I took place in the St. Patrick's run, which I placed in the podium position in my age group, third. I was very proud of that. I was actually stunned, actually. But I finished inside the top 10. So that was awesome to accomplish that and get a third place in my age group. That was also awesome. See that? And K-State, speaking of three wide, your big three, you know, the Fox race, ladies and gentlemen, if you have not paid attention to it or haven't listened to it, you might want to add it, because they were talking about on my run on Saturday morning prior to the St. Patrick's run about who's going to be trying to make predictions of who's going to be the big three this year and whatnot. I don't know who's going to be the big three in NASCAR, at least in the Cup side of things right now, because it's too early to be talking about the big three and all that other stuff right now. As well documented last year, for those of you who missed out, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr. in the big three won most of the races. Majority though, Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick in the second half of the season doing things big there. But it's too early to talk about who's going to be the big three in the Cup Series yet. We'll wait to find that out. You got to give it at least a few more races to see who's going to be that is right now. But I know who's the big three for K-State. That's the three seniors. Barry Brown, Dean Wayne, got first team honors. And then Kyle Miles Stokes got ripped off. But Kyle Miles Stokes right now, hottest player right now, in my opinion, right now. And this is the guy that we saw before we got injured, before Barry Brown took this team over on his back to that Elite Eight run last year. If you get all three of these guys now, Kamau Stokes, Dwayne, and Dean Wade having battling injuries throughout the year, and Kamau Stokes on a different note, yeah, he's battling in the foot, but he's also been battling some of these serious ass migraines, which is very scary to say the least, especially at his age, young and talented and looking forward. And obviously, you know, now you're in a win or you go home situation from here on out. The Big 12 championship, and obviously we're in the NCAA tournament, obviously. So we've yet to see obviously when championship week gets close, see we fall in. But obviously we want to see these guys go deep in the Big 12 tourney, hopefully the finals. You ain't got to deal with KU, so there's that deal, but you still got to deal with possibly the winner of Oklahoma State TCU tomorrow night. So we're going to be playing the winner of those guys there, and we shared the Big 12 with Texas Tech, so that's not all too bad a deal right there. Texas Tech, well-deserved, obviously, and they've been the team to beat over the last several weeks, putting beatdowns on KU, among others, a lot of teams right now. So I would not be a surprise if we see, hopefully see, a third installment of K-State versus Texas Tech. But you know how these things happen. Some weird shit happens in these tournaments. I tell you, especially in the NCAA tournament, you know you're going to see some upsets there on that front. So a lot of weird stuff happens in these tournaments. So in a perfect world, yes. Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen. You see, in a perfect world, yeah, it all works out just good, right? No. Not in this type of sport where you know crazy stuff happens, especially when you get in this point of the season where everything is on the line, berths to be NCAA tickets to be handed out, and you're trying to get to the Final Four and all this other stuff. So definitely we're there, and not to mention, you know, I don't know if Carly Jada is going to play in the Big 12 tournament or not. Obviously, you want to think big picture, but you're in a position now where you're one, you win, or you go home. That's pretty much it from here on out, all the way through the NCAA tournament now. So, I mean, yeah, I'm sure Bruce is going to play close to the best here with Cartier. Either way, though, we get an extra body back. And Austin Trice gets a shout-out here on the 3-Wire NASCAR podcast. He has been on rails here lately here after being kind of second fiddle to Levi Stalker. So he's been playing pretty good. So in this case, the sky's the limit for this team now. The host here on the Sports Talk Radio Show, John Kurtz, he mentioned the fact that, you know, injuries could catch up here at some point, whatnot. That's a wrong time to be saying that. I know I'm catching up on some latest episodes, but now this is the wrong time to be doing that. You know, getting injured, and if healthy, this team can really go far. I mean, they did this. K-State did this, folks. You're listening to 3-Wire NASCAR podcast with EG3. A few more minutes here on tonight's podcast. But, I mean, I understand, you know, you got to be, you know, trying to figure out, you know, you're going to play them or not. That's not an issue, okay? But now you're the number one seed of the Big 12 tournament, and you got dealing with this, you're dealing with Dean. You've been dealing with Dean all year with these foot injuries, really, since last year. We didn't, wasn't part of that run, and somehow, yeah, I'm still a little bit shocked that we even got that far, which set us up to this point. Let's not forget Xavier Sneed, Carl Maywean, Mike McGurl, Sean Neal Williams, even Levi Stalker, he and Austin Trice been switched to different roles. Now they play a big part in this thing here. So you go to Kansas City now, take care of your business, and I believe if they can get past the winner of TCU and Oklahoma State, I'm trying not to look too far. I don't like doing this, but I'm gonna do it anyway. I believe Iowa State and Baylor are the other half of the bracket that we're in. So, got that going. So, that's this is no slouch right here, these guys. So, we'll have to see how this plays out. And hopefully, K-State can make a deep run here in the Big 12 tournament, focusing on this right now, and worry about the NCAAs after the fact, if we get eliminated or we fall short somewhere in this tournament. So K-State doing some big things. We're Big 12 co-champs, baby. So I'm talking about now. I said to somebody earlier, we have unfinished business, and K-State right now, they gotta take full control of the situation. So we'll see what happens there on that front. You're listening to 3-Wire NASCAR podcast, EG3, and I wanted to add in one more here. Big D, thanks for joining me, and thank you guys for listening tonight. And we talked a lot about Kyle Busch here earlier tonight on this edition of 3-Wire NASCAR podcast. Right now, it is the Kyle Busch playground right now in all NASCAR right now. That's all we're talking about, including myself included in that. But in the podcast, not talking about Kyle Busch, but this whole football situation that I am not happy to see, which is K-State football. Now, over the years, I'm used to this whole, the normal scrimmage for the spring break, for the spring. Oh man, spring game. Obviously, we got a new coach. I talked about this in the offseason earlier this year, and he decided to change things up, not only to move up the actual game, but switch out the game for some different activities and stuff. I feel like I'm going to a carnival or something like that. Now, I get that Chris Kleiman, I get what he's trying to do. I'm on board with that, but with this here, I don't understand what he's trying to do here. I mean, yeah, you know, you're battling injuries. John Kurtz, the host of the game, talking about, you know, probably because, I understand that because last year, K-State, speaking of injuries, we're dealing with a lot of injuries and whatnot. And, you know, Skylar Thompson, Zuber, and all those other guys, Sullivan, just to name a couple. You don't know these guys. They play on the football team, okay, for K-State, for those you don't know. But it just baffles me that, you know, we're going to change this up to something else, that something fresh. I get we're going to do something fresh and all this other stuff like that. But, you know, to dismantle the game. Now, I mean, this is a total 180. This is a total 180. You know, we used to, you know, see that, you know, go to the game, spring game, and see who can get familiarized with, right? But this right here, how is this any different than, you know, you want family, friends to be engaged, but we don't know half these people, these kids that are coming into our program and try to turn this program around from being, you know, in the dumps. I mean, from last year, because this is what the program is right now, trying to revive itself from Bill Snyder, trying to turn things around. Chris Kleiman doing his thing, and I'm cool with that. You know, he's trying to mingle with fans, and I'm still trying to understand what he's trying to do here with this, with the spring game, and it's not the spring game this year. It's the, I guess, the quote-unquote football, I can't think of it right now because we're short on time, but it's not a spring game. It's basically a carnival where you get to see kids and veteran players do different drills and whatnot. Fans get to interact and whatnot. I'm on board with that, but same time, now we don't know half these kids coming up into this program. So that's one big issue that I have with that, and that's coming up in a couple weeks. So that's kind of something a little new, something that we might have to get used to. I have no idea. So that's kind of brought up to my point, interesting from that point. So I just wanted to bring that up here tonight here on the Throughout NASCAR podcast, that we're not going to be going to no spring game, Big D. We're going to be going to a carnival. We're in the show with that. Ladies and gentlemen, time to wrap this thing up, Big D. 3Y NASCAR podcast, another post-race reaction is in the books. Big D, thanks for what you've been doing. I'm Eddie Greer. Thank you for tuning in to the 3Y NASCAR podcast, EG3. And once again, Kyle Busch will be looking for 200 at Fontana.
Podcast with EG3. Make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you get your podcasts. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. We'll see you next time going 3 wide.